Again this evening, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, so tonight turn to the fifth chapter. We looked at the third and fourth chapter this morning, and tonight we're going to be looking at the fourth chapter. The message title tonight that I want to deal with is how to spot an immature Christian. How to spot an immature Christian. This morning as we were preaching, we mentioned the fact that the rest that remains for the people of God involves the matter of maturity, the matter of development, the matter of a better discernment of who the Lord is. And so tonight we want to basically complement what we covered this morning, and hopefully the message this evening will perhaps add more light on what we looked at this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, bless now the reading and the preaching of your precious word. Help us this evening, Lord, to gain principles and precepts from the word tonight that will challenge us all in the area of spiritual development in a greater way. Now bless us now and thank you for the good music, the service already that we've enjoyed, and bless now the reading of the precious word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse number 11. Verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of their use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, in life, there are many stages that we progress through. We, for example, we go from infancy to childhood and then move into adolescence and right on into adult stage of life. But now when it comes to the Christian life, there's basically two categories of life that one is in. You have childhood, and then you have the adult life. As far as the Christian realm is concerned, you have childhood, and then you have the adult life. Now, when it comes to physical life, the development, as far as from the physical realm, is normally spontaneous. We just simply move right along. We continue growing, and we develop, and we find ourselves in those different categories. But in the spiritual realm, it's not so spontaneous. There is discipline involved in going from childhood to spiritual development. There is work involved. We know tonight that salvation does not include works. We're not saved by works. But when it comes to the matter of Christian maturity, it does require discipline on our part. It really does. Now, when it comes to physical life, there's a lot that can be said. There's a lot of illustrations that could be given. And yes, there's a lot of humor involved in the matter of physical life. It's a shame how women are always picked on, isn't it, when it comes to age. And let me say tonight that I'm about to share a few statistics, but I don't believe a word of it. So if it helps you any. Now, here's what I read, and again, I don't believe a bit of this. A historian says that women use cosmetics in the Middle Ages, and they still use cosmetics in the Middle Ages. One person got it, Cheryl. It's also been said, so far as women are concerned, that the longest 10 years of a woman's life is between 39 and 40. There are seven ages. Like I said, I don't believe a bit of this. So don't nail my hide to the wall over this. Seven ages of women. The infant, the little girl, the miss, the young woman, the young woman, the young woman, the young woman. Now, I don't like too well the statistics on men. Man's life means tender teens, teachable 20s, tireless 30s, fiery 40s, forceful 50s, serious 60s, sacred 70s, aching 80s, shortening breath, death, the sod, God. That's about how long, that's about how that works, isn't it? Now, if I can get serious, we come back to chapter 5, how to spot an immature Christian. I'm not making any assumptions at all tonight. I'm simply preaching a message that perhaps we could say it's preventive. I'm not assuming. I recognize much maturity in this church. But there's always a possibility that someone is not developing like they should. And there's always a temptation on the part of those that have developed, have grown, to, if they're not careful, to rest on their laurels and to start losing ground spiritually. Now, in the book of Hebrews, as we mentioned this morning, this book pertains to the fact of Christ being superior. We know the problem that was recognized by the Hebrews writer, and I think it was Paul, was a problem of the lack of maturity on the part of many of the believers there that were Jewish individuals that had been converted, but yet they were being tempted by their Jewish counterparts to still consider Judaism with its sacrifices, with its system, instead of focusing on the full adequacy of Jesus Christ. Therefore, their growth was retarded. They were not developing. There are actually 5 warnings given in this book that addresses the spiritual slothfulness on the part of the audience of the Hebrews writer. He admonishes them to go on into perfection or maturity. He warns them from time to time. He even talks about chastening in the book. So it's good that we understand the background of this book. You see, God's desire tonight is that Christians go from childhood to spiritual maturity. Now let's understand tonight something about that. In any church, you have children that are natural, let's say natural in their childhood, because they just haven't been saved long enough to grow. Then you have children in a church that could be unnatural. In other words, their growth is retarded. They have just not matured as they should, and there's no reason why they should not have matured, because they've had many years of grace under their belts. But some just have not lived long enough, have not had the opportunity of growing enough by reading the Bible and so forth to mature. So that would account for that situation. Now, so looking now at this book here, we can see as he writes, he says, "I have of whom we have many things to say, but you're dull of hearing." Could I point out this evening that some of the way we spot an immature person, and I'll go ahead and give you my outline up front. When it comes to spotting immaturity, a person has a problem in terms of devotion. I'm talking about devotion to the Word of God, attitude towards the Scriptures. Number two, an immature person has a problem in terms of their discipline. Their discipline. They're wanting to be taught. They're wanting to be fed. But they don't want to be teaching. And I'll say something about that just a little bit later on, because it does say in verse number 12, when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. May I suggest tonight that Christians ought to be teachers. I'm not talking about formal teachers teaching Sunday school classes, teaching as far as the pulpit is concerned, but every Christian ought to be in a teaching mode at some point of time. What I'm saying is what the dear Lord has done in our lives, there ought to be a consuming passion and a desire to make that known to other people. That's what we mean when we talk about teaching. So when you have people that basically have no concern in teaching, sharing what they have, wanting to see people saved, let's say, wanting to see other Christians grow, there is a problem there with this maturity issue. If we basically don't care about others, if we don't care about developing others, if we're just satisfied with ourselves, where we are, at the expense of not caring about where other people are, we've got a problem. And I'm not taking that point and picking on anybody. I'm just saying that's what the Bible teaches. We've got a problem based upon the Bible. So how to spot an immature person? There is a problem with devotion to the Word. There's a problem with discipline in terms of taking what we have and passing it on. There's a problem with digestion. We want the baby food instead of the mature food. We want to still stay on baby food. And then the fourth thing that I see, there is a problem with discernment. With discernment. He says that we need to have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When people cannot discern, when they cannot tell right from wrong, when they're confused all the time about where something is doctrinally, then that is a problem with immaturity. Because after a while, we have no excuse not to know the truth, not to know how to spot error, because I'll tell you something else. If this church was just a, let's say, just a type of a church, and you've got them out there, and I'm not tooting any kind of a horn at all here. I'm just simply saying you have some churches where maybe the emphasis is not so much upon teaching or not so much upon training in the Bible, and I'm not picking on anybody. Then you can understand sometimes maybe why some people maybe have not grown, have not developed. But when you have a church that consistently teaches and preaches the Bible and attempts to bring out the truths of Scripture, there is no excuse for a church like this one not developing, not maturing. And I'll be quick to tell you tonight, if there's any teaching ability on this preacher's part, it's only because of God's goodness and God's grace. And I give the Lord the credit for it. But I certainly... And that's one thing I'll always appreciate about my Bible college training is I had a bunch of professors at that time that really bared down heavy on getting in the Bible, learning the Scriptures, knowing what doctrine was, preaching expository messages, digging into the content of Scripture. And I'll always thank God for my professors that taught me those things when I was in Bible college. I believe in preaching messages on salvation. You know that for sure. But I still believe that Christians need to begin there and move on and go forward and develop. And that's what the Bible teaches. It's what it teaches. We're going to look at this tonight. Now, someone one time was talking to a great pianist. And they asked the pianist about the discipline of practicing with a piano. And the pianist said this. He said if he did not practice for one day, he realized his loss. If he missed 2 days, his friends knew it. And if he missed 3 days, the public recognized it. That's what the pianist said. And there's truth to that. And you see, it's just like anything in life. We need to practice. We need to stay with it. I'll say this. There are many times when I'm reading the Bible may appear to me boring. I don't understand it. But I've found if you keep reading it and reading it and reading it anyway, since it is a supernatural book, the Holy Spirit of God has a way of taking the truth and opening the great truths, and it gives us the ability to love it more, to discern more as we go. See, this book is not like any other book. It's in a category all by itself. It's divine. It's given of God. It's produced by inspiration. And so many times when we're reading it, we may not be understanding it, but we're being helped anyway because we're reading the Word of God. And you see, help does not always come simply by our being able to understand what we're reading, But since we are focusing on the Bible, we're honoring the Lord, the one that gave us the book, and He's pleased in that. Even if we're reading what we don't understand, God's still pleased because it's His Word. Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't grow into grace. We do not. We don't grow into grace. But we grow in grace. We get into grace by faith. But Peter says that we still grow in grace. Not into, but in. That means we develop. That talks about developing. That's talking about going forward, reaching a greater level of maturity. This morning I said something like this. I made this comment. The problem, many times, is too many Christians know more about the work of Christ upon this earth than they understand about His work in heaven. It's kind of like this. The baby food is just knowing about His work upon this earth. But the mature adult meal is when we can understand more what He's doing in heaven. Think about that. That's a fact. Because when we can really focus on what He's doing in heaven, that removes fear, that gives us courage, that gives us a sense of security, that lets us see more clearly where we stand in Christ Jesus. We see Him in terms of what He's doing. I'm glad tonight for what He did, but thank God for what He's doing. And that promotes growth. That gives greater security, you see, when we understand that. First thing I want to mention tonight is how to spot an immature Christian is there is a lack of excitement in the Word. In other words, there is a devotion problem. Lack of excitement in the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Slow in hearing. Now, I take this to mean, primarily, they have a hearing problem in reference to God's Word. Because after all, what is it that we preach? What is it that we teach? What is it that promotes growth? It's the Word of God. Now, it's one thing to be dull in hearing when people are idly chatting and hearing what they're saying, and you may miss a lot on that, and we still, that won't affect us one way or the other. But when we're dull of hearing, when it comes to the Bible, then that will definitely impact our development. We quite frankly need to have a better relationship with the Bible. We really do. I've learned this down through the years. Many times people say, the services are boring, the preaching is boring, the teacher is boring, and everything else is boring. But a problem many times is not it's boring in terms of what is being said, it's boring because people are dull hearers. You see, he talks about dull hearing. So they're bored not because of what's being said. They're bored because they don't have good listening exercise. Dullness of hearing. There's a lot in the Bible, isn't there? Dullness of hearing. I know many people that get bored in a church service and say the service is boring. Well, what about this? Maybe their ears are boring. Not the preaching. It's amazing to me that when people get interested in the Word of God, I don't care how it's spoken, they still hang on to it because they love the Bible and they're there for the Word of God. They're more interested in what is being said than how it's being said. That's the mark of a mature person. They're captured more by what is being said, by content, than how it's being said. I've thought about this many times. I don't care what venue of preaching it is. Whether it's in a church, whether it's in a camp meeting, or whether it's in some other area, I get a little bit bothered when I hear people talk about sometimes, they'll say he's not a camp meeting preacher. Think about what you're saying. Is there such a thing as a camp meeting preacher? Many people mean by that, the camp meeting preacher is someone that rips and snorts and moves and does all these things, short of cutting a cartwheel. But what if he does all that and doesn't say anything? I think content is more important than anything. And when we really get disciplined in devotion to the Word of God itself, we won't be making distinctions between this person being good there or some other venue, because again, it's what is being said, it's not how it's being said. Like the old Food Line lion, that's just my 2 cents. But I believe that. I've lived long enough to believe that the average person doesn't have good discernment when it comes to preaching. They think the preacher is boring if the preacher doesn't raise his voice very loud. They think he's boring. The most boring preacher you'll ever hear is someone that doesn't preach and dig in and give the truth and preach the truth of Scripture. That's the boring preacher. I mean, you can get loud and hoot and holler, but you can wind up being nothing but just a bunch of hot air. I don't care about being hot air. I care more about what is said. How to spot an immature Christian. You will see there is a problem when it comes to devotion. When it comes to devotion. Someone said this. They said most Christians are in-betweeners. They're between Egypt and Canaan. They're between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. They're in-betweeners. How to spot an immature Christian. There's a devotion problem. There's a dullness towards the Word, verse 11. I believe this. I believe Paul wasn't a dull teacher. I believe they were dull hearers. You see, the 5 warnings of the book of Hebrews revealed the problems of these Jewish believers. Did you know that if you study those warnings out, you'll find that one of them had to do with indifference and neglect. The other one had to do with unbelief and disobedience. The other one had to do with slothfulness that prevented progress. That's the first 3. And this section here is the third warning. The third warning. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13, here's what the Bible said. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Here's the commendation Paul gives to the people at Thessalonica, because he saw that they were on fire and really devoted to the Word of God itself. And here's what he's saying there. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us. Now, here's the clincher. You received it not as a word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. 1 Thess 2:13. When they received the Word of God, they at Thessalonica did not receive it as a word of men. They received it as the Word of God. When people receive the Word that is being preached as a word of God, not the word of man, business picks up in our lives. We'll start seeing some changes. I don't care how untalented or how boring, let's say, maybe a preacher might be. If he's opening his Bible, he's got something to say. He's got something worth hearing. This crowd here lacked push and go. Someone said. Chapter 6, verse 12 said they lacked push and go. Verse number 12 says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He said that ye be not slothful. I'm going to assume that undoubtedly, for Paul to say be not slothful, they must have been slothful. And by the way, he didn't jump audiences either. He's writing to the same group of people the whole way through the book. They are Jewish believers who are immature. Again, if you want proof of that, he calls them holy brethren. I don't know of any unsaved person that's a holy brethren, do you? So they're identified as brethren, as saved people. How to spot a carnal Christian? They will have a devotion problem. Number two, they will have a digestion problem. Look at verse number 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. Actually, let me back up a little bit. I don't mean to say digestion quite yet. We're talking here about discipline, like I said earlier. They had a discipline problem. They lacked the ability to share spiritual truth. Have you ever known people that will say to you, I just need to be fed? And I'm not contradicting what I said earlier. We need to be fed. But you know, it's time that some people maybe take what they're being fed and start giving it out. I mean, some people seem like they want to keep feeding. My goodness, if people do nothing but eat, what in the world is going to happen? It's not good for health to just eat and not exercise. God intends that we feed and then we give it out. Verse 12 says that. It says that, for when for the time you ought to be teachers. This does not say here that God calls every Christian to be a Sunday school teacher or to be a preacher from the pulpit or to teach in a formal setting. But I believe this, though. I believe every Christian, it's God's will that we be instructors to others. In terms of what God has instructed us with. You say, how do I do that, preacher? Well, do it one-on-one. Get concerned about a neighbor. Get concerned about your children. Get concerned about a family member. Do it one-on-one. At some point in time, take what you are being taught and get burdened about it. And if you don't have a burden, you need to pray about it, that God would really give you a great burden about becoming a teacher in that way, being an instructor, passing on to others what God has seen fit to give you. And I believe this, I don't think we ever grow out of or get too old to quit being a teacher. There's still someone we can influence. There's still someone we can tell about Christ. There's still someone we can share what God has done. You see, this is talking about sharing spiritual truth. That is a mark of spiritual maturity. I'm not talking about the gift of teaching, as I said. It's the idea here of sharing spiritual truth. A mark of an immature person is an individual who has no desire or burden to share spiritual truth with other people. Now, before you take me to the task on that, be sure to read that verse again. Because that's what it's saying. We ought to be passing it on. Then, number three, there's another mark of spiritual immaturity. It's a digestion problem. Look with me at verse 12, last part, 12b. Talks about the first principles of the oracles of God and are become such as need of milk and not as strong meat. Notice there's a distinction being made. Milk, meat. One thing he calls milk. Other thing he calls meat. You know what I believe? I believe milk, like we've already illustrated, pertains, let's say, in this way, of just knowing about Christ's life on this earth. But meat is knowing about what he's doing in heaven. Milk is seeing him as Aaron upon this earth. But meat is seeing him as the one who's greater than Melchizedek in heaven. It's seeing his priesthood. The meat has to do with the Lord's ministry now in heaven. The milk has to do with what was done upon the earth. Now, maybe I need to break this down a little bit. I'm glad tonight that I can stand and say I am not going to hell because I've been saved. But I'm also glad that I can stand up here and say tonight, not only did salvation mean to me that I'm not going to hell, but it means that I'm accepted in the Beloved. It means I have a high priest. It means that I have a Lord who's taking care of me. It means that I have an interceding Lord. You see the difference between milk and meat. Meat is when I get beyond the rudimentary stage. It's when I go beyond just the developmental stage. Some people never, the only thing they could ever talk about is how God saved them. That's wonderful. Don't take me wrong. That's wonderful. But try talking about what God has been doing since you got saved. What is He doing right now? How is He blessing you right now? A testimony meeting ought to be how God right now is sustaining me and taking care of my needs. That's milk stuff, or meat stuff rather. There's a digestive problem. Hebrews 13, verse 20, Now the God of peace brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. That's meat stuff. Make you perfect. That's Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. A digestive problem proves immaturity. Some people get bored when you get deep in the Word of God. That's right. They can't handle it. And I know people need to be led along. But my soul, how long are people going to have to, how long are they going to stay on baby food though? There's not a parent in this building tonight, but what wouldn't be drastically concerned if your child never got beyond eating baby food? I've known Christians, and I'm not picking on anybody here, God knows that. I've known Christians that have lived on baby food as long as I ever knew them. Why are y'all looking at me like I said a strange thing? You know what I'm saying. And then I think this, I think another telltale sign of immaturity is in the area of discernment. Strong meat, verse 14, belongeth to them that are full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It amazes me sometimes what I hear Christians say. They don't know, you know, it's almost like this. Anything that anybody says to them, if it has a religious context, is okay with some Christians. Long as the name God's used, long as they go to a church. Some Christians don't have any more discernment but to think that everybody is okay doctrinally and they accept it. They're gullible. It's just like years ago in West Virginia, we had a guy in this church, in my church there, that really wasn't totally with it all the way. And I'm not knocking that. I'm just making a point. We just got through building a new building. And we had a water pipe that come out from the baptistry. It was a runoff from the baptistry. We were out there working one day on the building, and this guy goes over there. He thought it was a water faucet, and he cut it on and took a big swig of that baptistry water. He didn't know. Now, if I was an immature person and an immature preacher, you know what I'd say about that? I'd say he sure did drink a lot of people's sins. There are people that believe that the water of baptism is what takes away sin. A discernment problem. Some people stick anything that they get in their mouth. They're gullible. They listen. They take it in. They don't see any difference, anything wrong with cults coming to the door, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, whatever. They'll invite them in and they'll think, well, we're all going to the same place. You'd be surprised how many Christians there are that believe that everybody is going to the same place. Because they're in church, because they're living good, because they're reading their Bible. That's a discernment problem. And that indicates immaturity. Some people stick everything they get in their mouths. When our little boy was just a little boy, he used to eat dirt. He didn't know any better. He was a kid. But I believe dirt's kind of nutritional. It sure didn't hurt his growth. He'd stick it in his mouth. Kids are like that. Kids will stick anything in their mouths. I'm going to tell something on the preacher tonight. When I was a boy, I wasn't a little kid. I was a boy. You know what I did one time? I swallowed a nail. I did, and it hung crossway in my throat. I had to be taken to the doctor and have the nail extracted from my throat. And that affects me even today. Sometimes I'll go into a sleep, and I'll wake up, and I'll think I swallowed something. One time I hollered out, I said, "Honey, I swallowed my watch." Well, people stick anything in their mouths. Immature Christians do that too. One time our son had an eye in his ear. Do you know that? We were in a church service. You know those little rattle toys have those little rattle eyes? He was a little baby in church. He pulled that little rattle eye out and stuck it in his ear. He's the only person I know that had an eye in his ear. Every time he'd shake his head, the eye would rattle. You'd hear the eye rattling. He'd shake his head. We had a doctor in the church. We took him to the doctor after church, and he retrieved the eye from his ear. He said, "It's the first time I ever looked into a person's ear and saw an eye looking back at me." But immature Christians are like that. They stick eyes in their ears. They put anything in their mouths. They're not thinking. They're not growing. They're not maturing. So I don't know how it is with you tonight, but I want to be a mature believer. And I believe God wants that too. That's why he says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, chapter 6, verse 1, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works in a faith towards God. God wants us to be going forward, growing, developing, maturing, getting stronger. That's the will of God for every single one of us. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This evening, if the message has rung a bell, has struck a chord, has reminded anyone of an area of weakness in any one of these areas, I'd encourage you tonight. It's another mark of maturity when we're willing to fess up to where we are and let God help us in these areas. I'll tell you another mark of an immature person. This wasn't even covered in my outline at all. That's a person who is satisfied where they are and are not willing to make any adjustments. It's people many times that will come to church and hear sermons and never think that the preacher could be talking to them for a change. They're the people that sit back thinking, well, he really told so-and-so, or they're almost as bad as the person that said, if so-and-so would have been here, you would have really told them. No, I'm speaking to every one of us tonight. And if you need to make a trip to this old altar, tonight would be a good time to do it, because growing in the Lord is precious in God's sight. And that's certainly what he tells us to do. Let's bow our heads in prayer.